January 22nd was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, but our Sanctity of Human Life is the closest Sunday. It's the 24th of January. That's today. Now, you know, the Bible is impeccably clear. Life is precious. We see that it is a gift from God. It says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now catch this, male and female created he them. Life is precious, life is a gift of God, and man was created in God's image, though admittedly a fallen image, but the animals weren't created in God's image, the fish weren't created, the birds weren't created in God's image. It is us. We are the special creation of God. Now, I can remember early on in the pro-life movement, they particularly wanted people to think the fetus was just a blob of flesh. The problem was that ultrasound came to be, and I have seen pictures of my unborn grandchildren and unborn great-grandchildren, and you can see their features right now. Here's what was written in the book of Jeremiah. Before I formed thee, this is God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. This is speaking specifically of Jeremiah, but it's true of all of us. He knows us. It says it sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's all before Jeremiah is born. Life begins at conception. And this next picture almost makes me cry. Children are precious. Children are precious. Children are a reward of God. Now, I know that sometimes you wonder about that. But they are. Here is what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 127:3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of his womb, and the fruit of the womb, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. That's Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital E, the self-existent God. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my son Steve and his family. I'm thankful for my oldest daughter, Carla, and her family. And even a little brat, even Sarah and her wonderful family. She's still a baby. She gets harassed. Well, anyway. But I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful that I have kids. I have 13 grandchildren. I have 3 great-grandchildren, 1 yet to be born, but life begins at conception, and I've already seen a picture. It's in the womb, but I'm thankful for the ultrasound, and it excites for me, and Lynn and I pray for Cassidy. That's Steve's youngest, or no, is Cassidy the youngest? Yeah, Cassidy is the youngest, and now she's with child, and her husband as well. They're excited, and so is great grandma and great grandpa. And if Ellen and my mom live, that'll be 5 again generations. We'll try and get a 5 generation picture. You know, God demands that we reverence and protect human life. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 10. The innocent blood, that innocent blood, be not shed in thy land. which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. I know that's Old Testament, but you know our nation was founded upon biblical principles, and God is against those that shed innocent blood, and that is among the seven things that are an abomination to the Lord. Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and one of them there is hands that shed innocent blood. There is no more innocent blood than an unborn child that cannot defend itself. Therefore, we need to do all we can to protect the unborn children. Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, I knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? That's why we're pro-life. We're endeavoring to protect innocent blood, the blood of unborn children. The Holocaust in America makes me sick. The Holocaust of abortion. It's been 43 years and 2 days since the infamous U.S. Supreme Court decision known as Roe v. Wade. You know that was even a bogus thing? The lady who they used as the case, it was just a whole bunch. And she, before she died, she was a pro-life supporter and spoke out against it. But the horrendous decision of Roe v. Wade kicked open the door to legally taking the life of unborn children, and it has extended to what is called partial birth abortion, and there are some doctors in abortion clinics now, if the baby, they don't imagine to kill it in the womb and it's born alive. Trump was pushing that they had to treat it, but they just let the baby there die and sometimes smother the baby. And you know that selling of babies' organs by Planned Parenthood is big, big business. And there's an abortion clock on the internet, and the last time I checked it, which was on Saturday, it tells us that there's 62,554 62,554,038 preborn children that have been killed in the USA by abortion. Remember how God blessed the Hebrew midwives? The Hebrew midwives were told from the highest authorities that when the Jewish boys were born, they were to kill them. They were to throw them in the river. They didn't do it. And God blessed those midwives. I think God blesses us in a unique way when we are pro-life and when we support pro-life causes and put our money where our mouth is. I'm so thankful for that. But since January 22nd, 1973, in the Supreme Court decision known as Roe versus Wade, 62,554,038 preborn children have been murdered. I just will say it. Abortion is killing a baby. Thou shalt not kill. looking at Exodus 21, 22 through 25, if a man strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her. So if she has, if you're fighting with a woman and you cause her to have a miscarriage, and yet no mischief follow, the baby lives, and the baby doesn't die, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband, will according to as the woman's husband lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. And if mischief follow, if the baby is maimed or blind or halt or lame or eye gone or killed, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. God is very clear in his word that abortion is going to be judged by him. And there should be laws that deal with those who perform the abortions. And I'm thankful if any of you have had abortions that God's mercy is there. Many people have had abortions not knowing really what the situation is. We'll talk about that later. I'm going to go now into God's view of the development of the pre-born child. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." God's there in our formation. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I'm going to stop there. You know, they still cannot make a computer that functions like the human body. Oh, they're trying. "But we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in contingents were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." I like the word there, covered. I like to do word studies. The word covered is a translation of sawcock, the Hebrew word which means to weave or knit together. We have been woven together. We have been knit together in our mother's womb. My mother used to really be big on knitting when she was able and has knit some very complicated patterns. Even my wife, she's done the knitting as well, and some of our girls likewise. But the marvel of how God has knit us together in our mother's womb is amazing to me. You know, children are woven or knit together in their mother's womb by God, and we are fearfully, awesomely, and uniquely, wonderfully made. So now I'm going to take you on a trip. They won't show you these things in school anymore. And so I've decided to show you them. A womb with a view. We're going to look at how a baby is knit together in the mother's womb. This presentation takes a week by week, month by month look at life of an unborn human. There are no pictures of abortion or dead children, so-called product of abortion. The main purpose is to inform you of the wonders of life. So here we go. Right there, it's real interesting. In the beginning, the seed of the man, right here, joins to the ovum, the egg right here, of the woman to form, starts out one cell smaller than the grain of salt, smaller than a grain of salt. This union begins with 23 chromosomes from the father and 23 chromosomes from the mother to make a single new life of 46 chromosomes. The genetic blueprint for the development of every detail of this person will be there. You know, God is the great creator. The earth, it's marvelous. The sun, the stars, the universe, certainly. They're all wonderful creations of God. However, the creation of a human life is awesome and marvelous. Do you know what astronomers have discovered? There are not as many universes as they thought there was. That's just recently, this week. There's a huge black hole, and they can't see anything out, so they thought that there was likely thousands of other Earths. You know, I don't believe that there's human life on any other planet than the planet Earth. And I think we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's move on to the next one. Whoops, let's go back this way. The next few days, the fertilized egg travels down the fallopian tubes into the woman's uterus. And at the end of the first week, it implants itself in the lining of the uterus wall and draws nourishment from mom. From 10 days to 14 days, the developing embryo signals its presence through the placenta chemicals and hormones of the mother's body, telling the mom to cease what her regular time of month would be. And here's where it gets really cool. Now catch this. By only 20 days, the foundation of the brain, the spinal cord, and the nervous system are established already. You can see there. You can see these things here. By 21 days, the heart begins to beat. 21 days. By the fourth week, the backbone and muscles are forming, the legs, the arms, the eyes, the ears, they're beginning to show. Now 1 month old, the embryo is 10,000 times larger than the original fertilized egg and is developing rapidly. Brain, there's the brain there. You got the heart right here. You can see the eyes here. You got the arm bud there. There is the liver. There you have the leg buds there. It is amazing. At the fifth week, five fingers can be discerned on the hand. The eye darkens as the pigment is produced. Brain waves can be detected and recorded. At 6 weeks, the liver is now taking over the production of blood cells. The brain begins to control muscle movements and organs at 6 weeks. Can you just look at this? Little fingers. 7 weeks, the embryo begins to move spontaneously. The jaw forms, including teeth buds in the gums. Soon, eyelids will seal to protect the embryo's developing light-sensitive eyes and will open at the seventh month. Now here, by the 8 week, the now called fetus is a little more than an inch long. Figure that, a little more than an inch long. And the fetus, I'm just going to call it the little baby, now has everything found in a fully developed adult. You got the eyes, you got the brain, you got the liver, you got the umbilical cord here, the fingers, you can see the little fingers and you can see the feet. The heart has been beating for more than a month. The kidneys are functioning. The stomach is producing digestive juices. And the baby responds to touch. I used to do it before my kids were born. I talked and sang to them while they're right in the tummy of my wife. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. Now, we don't have to worry about her getting pregnant anymore, but anyway. But it was, I think our babies recognized our voices before they were born. Got to move along. At the ninth week, we're already 9 weeks, the tiny one has fingerprints. And will curve its hand around an object placed in its palm. By 10 weeks, the little baby can squint, swallow, and wrinkle its forehead. By the 11th week, the little baby is now 2 inches long. Urination occurs. Muscle movements are becoming more coordinated. Now 3 months old, the unborn baby sleeps. I can remember when, can't remember which kid, you could tell when that kid was awake. I mean, kicking and causing a fuss. I'm cuddled up against my wife and all of a sudden I get a kicking. Well, anyway. Now 3 months old, the unborn sleeps, awakens, exercises its muscle. It breathes embryonic fluid to help it develop its respiratory system. And fine hair is growing on the head. I didn't have any bald babies. They were all born with lots of hair. At 4 months, the fetus, the baby, is 8 to 10 inches long and weighs half a pound. The mother starts to show. The baby's ears are now functional. It can hear its mother. Eyelids. You can see the development of eyelids right there. You can see the development of the ear here. And of course, this is the umbilical cord, and this is the fluid, the embryonic fluid. It's amazing. It is just amazing. The fetus at 5 months is now about 12 inches long. There is definite movement felt by the mother. The unborn baby jumps in reaction to startling or loud noises. Very interesting. And I love this picture. I mean, look at this little kid. At the 6 month, oil and sweat glands are now functioning. The delicate skin is protected by the fetal water by a special ointment called Vernix. It says, born now and given proper care, the baby can survive. The baby can survive. I mean, this guy here has heavy brows. That's for sure. If you look, you can see the little fingernails. The little fingernails, the developed ear. You've got downy hair that covers the little baby. Knit together in the mother's... Isn't it something? At 24 weeks, this unborn child was operated on for spina bifida while still in the uterus. Do you see the... He grabs the doctor's hands there. This is Sarah Marie Switzer, the baby who was operated on above. There she is. She's doing good. She's doing good. This is about the time that premature baby can survive outside the womb with proper medical treatment. This little boy here, 7 weeks after birth, was born when his mother was only 25 weeks pregnant. Only 25 weeks pregnant. Wow. At 7 months, the baby now uses the four senses of hearing, vision, taste, and touch. The child can respond to his or her mother's voice. It's amazing. In the 8th month, the skin begins to thicken with a layer of fat stored underneath for insulation and for nourishment. Antibodies increasingly build up. The baby is nearly ready for the outside world. Towards the end of this month, the baby is ready for birth. My wife had a real difficult time with the birth of my son Steve. I was with her all the way. The labor was very difficult on her. If I wouldn't have been in to see the birth of my son, we would have had one kid. But it was so amazing. But Dr. Westerhoff told me, I don't usually let people in, but I'll tell you what, if you faint, I'm just going to leave you on the floor. I'm going to be busy with your wife. That's what he told me. But it was so exciting to me, to have Steve be born. And he's covered with this stuff, and Westerhoff takes it and says, this is the best hand cream there is, and he takes it and off of Steve and puts it right on me. But I get to hold my newborn son, and to see the look on Linda's face and the joy in my own face, God allowed us to have two additional children, and I'm grateful for that. I saw each one be born. And really got to help with, I forget which one, but it was exciting to me. Towards the end of this month, the 8th month, the baby is ready for birth. By this time, the infant is normally 6 to 9 pounds, and his or her heart is pumping 300 gallons of blood a day. Wow. If that doesn't amaze you. I know you do. I appreciate you all. I'm going to ask you to keep on keeping on, but I want you to choose life. I want you to teach your children to choose life. I want you to teach your grandchildren to choose life. But you know, there is a time. What if you have had an abortion? What should also be of concern for the mother who has had an abortion? They have often been told lies about the preborn child and were coerced into an abortion. Of course, we couldn't tell the whole story of abortion without mentioning the mom. Remember, this is an ultra-sensitive area, but so many boyfriends, when their girlfriend gets pregnant, their counsel is, or their threat is, you go get an abortion or we're done. There's a lot of pressure put on. And then there's so many that have several children and we can't afford another child, and so the pressure is on them for abortion. They're often coerced to get an abortion. You know, reason I like the Alpha Women's Center is that she needs to be told before it happens what her baby's true nature is. And they come in for pregnancy tests at the Alpha Women's Center. A lot of them don't even realize that it's not a Planned Parenthood type of thing. So they come in and they get free tests. That's because churches like us support, so they can have the free tests and that sort of things. Or if it's already happened, she needs to know that she can be forgiven. She needs to know that Jesus Christ saves people's soul and forgives and heals. You know, I'm so thankful for the ministry of the Alpha Women's Center and the other crisis pregnancy centers in Wisconsin. They perform a very, very, very important ministry. And I might add, quite a successful ministry. You'll hear more about it when Brother Burlingame, who's the rep that goes around and talks about it, shares with you this evening. You know, the Alpha Women's Center shares the truth about unborn children with pregnant women nearly every day that they're open. They come in. They also share the gospel, telling women, sometimes men, that there is forgiveness in Christ Jesus, and encouraging them in several areas to keep the baby, and that adoption is a possible option. I pray for Holly and Sue Hoppe and the workers at the Alpha Women's Center. They are doing the Lord's work in this very, very important ministry. Please speak up for those who do not have a voice. Take part in defending the defenseless. If you see a pregnant woman, a pregnant girl, and you can engage them in a conversation, see what you can find out. Try and witness to them. And if they're coming up with the fact that they're not married or they're trying to consider an abortion, try and encourage them not to, and even point them to the Alpha Women's Center. We need to defend the defenseless, and at the same time, we need to try and point their mothers in the right way so that they don't make a tragic choice. Somebody needs to do that. Historically, First Baptist Church has done that. We haven't stood on the highway in a couple of years, but we're every bit as pro-life as we have ever been. And every year since we started supporting Baptist for Life of Wisconsin and then the Alpha Women's Center, the congregation has voted to continue that support. It's there, and that support has been increased some even this coming year. I know our congregation is somewhat less than before, but we think we can do it. And so I'm hoping that you come on Wednesday and that when you look at our budget and you come to our missionary budget, you'll see, I believe, that the Alpha Women's Center is the largest one in that budget. And that is on purpose because historically, and I trust in the future as well, we'll continue to be pro-life. My suggestion to you, and when I moved from senior pastorate in several years, that when you're interviewing your candidate for a new preacher, you find out what his stance on pro-life is. And see if he's put his money where his mouth is. That's not the only thing you need to be concerned about, but that needs to be one of the things. You know, one of the hardest things, I've been involved with Baptist for Life since the very beginning, and Alpha Women's Center since its early beginning as well, but one of the most frustrating thing for me is the independent fundamental Baptist churches that look at this as a social program and will not support it. That drives me buggy. More people have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior at the Alpha Women's Center than they have at First Baptist Church this year. They try and win those women to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank you for your support of the Alpha Women's Center and Baptists for Life in the past, and I'm urging you to continue to support them because unborn lives matter.